of our messages, all of our messages, everything up to this, like last week, I'm sure that by this week they'll have the ones from a couple of summits are still to go up, Pastor Tom, and then a couple, and then this past week, all of our podcasts are updated. So when you're not at church or you're at work and you feel, I want to listen to that message, I was working in nursery or kids church, or man, I was just busy on Sunday, I didn't get to have the whole message. That's the time where you can go right on to voabq.org, listen to sermons online. You can get on podcasts, click on there right there, and you can listen to that sermon any time of the day. If you're up at midnight and you say, man, I just want to listen to that message again. Something that was said that got to me, was a thing that hit me, I want to hit it one more time. Bam, you get online, and you can hear it anytime. Amen. So victoryoutreach.org, voabq.org, and you can get online. All right, you excited about that? Amen. Praise the Lord. And soon, hopefully within the year, we're going to start filming our services as well. And so that way, we'll be on YouTube, and you'll be able to bring them up, and you'll be able to show them at your house to people. If they say, I don't want to go to church, well, just listen. They'll see the church, and maybe that'll get them to church. Amen. Praise the Lord. So good. So, Katrina, welcome home. Bienvenidos. Thank you for the cheese, sister, and the tea. Now, we woke up this morning, there was some cheese, man, some real cheese. You know, my wife said when she went to Holland that they ordered cheese, and they said, well, I want some of that cheese. She goes, no, you don't got real cheese. We got cheese. You guys have Kraft, they said. You know, and so she brought us some real cheese, and then also she brought us some tea. I'm still lit from this morning. Is that what she brought? Like real tea. It turns brown like within like 7 seconds. It's brown. You know, the Lipton and all the other, I drink some pretty good teas. I have really good loose leaf teas, but they take a while to steep. You know, they take, 30 seconds before it starts turning a little bit brown. This one just went like brown, like now. And I knew it was going to be a good day. Amen. Praise the Lord. But I've been lit all day with that English tea, man. And I should have drank some before I got here. I would have been jumping off the walls. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm going to ask you to give somebody a high five. And then you can be seated. Tonight, I want to say happy Valentine's Day to everybody, but especially to my Valentine, Sister Barbara. This is our 42nd Valentine's Day together. Amen? Wow. We've been together a long time, girl. And I also want to give props to Team Love. Yeah, Team Love. Team Love, ma'am. Team Love, for those of you that know, the love encounter last night was absolutely phenomenal. Man, Dave and Jolene preached a powerful message. They shared a powerful message on marriage and ministry. And, man, it was just powerful, so transparent. And also Kyle and Christine, man, I guess I've never heard Christine, like, minister. I don't go to Vethi. She teaches Vethi, but she was just on it. Kyle was just like, they were tag teaming, too. And I was like, wow, these guys, man, they did such a great job. But then Team Love, there's everybody, there's too many names, but Team Love put that thing together. I called them Team Love. That's what I put on my notes. Thank Team Love. Amen. They all got together, and we had hors d'oeuvres spelled with an H. Come on, somebody. I mean, we had hors d'oeuvres. Man, if you didn't go, I'm just going to say you missed out. Amen, because it was bomb.com. And I got blessed, man. I learned, too. I told them. I said, I've been married for, I'm going to be 40, and we'll be married 42 years in July, and I learned something last night because I'm open still. Amen. You might think I know it all about marriage, but you know what? I don't. Amen. I find that out every day, that I need to learn more about marriage, learn about how to be a better husband, and I learned some things last night. Amen? Praise the Lord. With that, but I want to say, honey, happy Valentine's Day one more time. Love you. Amen. That's a nice hat. Chilling. Amen. She's just chill. My wife's chill, man. I can't say enough about her. I should switch my message and just preach to you, girl. Woo! Always and forever, each moment with you, like a dream come true. Okay, let me get back in the spirit world now. I'm in the flesh. I get the flesh over here for a minute. But I've entitled this message tonight. just that. That's the name of it. So keep that in your own mind. What's love got to do with it? 1 John chapter 4, and we're going to read just a couple of verses, verse 9 through 11. Follow with me in the NIV version. It reads like this. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Father, one more time, God, I pray your word is anointed. I pray you anoint your servant. And I pray, oh God, that the presence of your Holy Spirit would just fill our hearts, Father. Use me, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Love Week, man. Everybody's about love. Anybody in the vicinity of Central and Unser on Unser in the last 4 or 5 hours? Let me see a hand, show of hands. Anybody drive by there? Just 1, 2 hands? Did you guys see what I saw? Like 75 booths? You know, we started that mess. There used to be one booth you could buy Valentine trinkets, little bears, and long stem roses. It was in the corner of Five Points, right there on Sunset and Bridge, where we used to have our church. That was the only booth that was on a street corner. Everywhere else, you had to go to the flower shop, had to go to Walmart. And we got this bright idea to open up a little booth and sell all these things. And, man, we were doing pretty good. And then a couple of years later, there would be a shop over here, another tent over here. And we said, we're not going to do this no more. Man, there's just too many people doing this. When I passed by today, I looked at Sister Barbara. She put it on her Snapchat immediately. Was, oh, my God, we started this, baby. We were the founders of that. It has multiplied like Victory Outreach, like 600 booths around the whole city now. Literally, I couldn't believe it. Right from from the CVS. On that side, like by where the library's at right there, there's like 15 of them. And then there's a couple on the other side that are bold enough to make a stop right there. And then when you get to by Bridge, there's a few more, and they're nestled in where the guys are selling oranges. And they're like, they're elbowing each other. This is Love Week. Everybody's at the last minute. Everybody at the last minute trying to get flowers and trying to get bouquets. And man, they're slinging roses for like $10 instead of $2. But I guarantee you go out there right now, you get them for $1. So if you're late, you didn't get your roses, man, get over to Unser and you can get your things for about $1 because what are they going to do? Throw them away tomorrow. Amen? Today's Valentine's Day. Amen? And I want to talk about God's love. His love is so big. It's bigger than our faults. God's love, aren't you glad for that? Somebody should have shouted amen right there. God's love for us moves beyond our past, man. His love for us was when we were yet sinners, the Bible says there. His love for us is deeper than the deepest part of the ocean. You know, there's places in the ocean that nobody can navigate to. If a ship or a plane goes down or a ship, there's places where they can get pretty far down there now, man. They got all this sonar and they got all this technology they can get. And they can dive. They can send even like these drone ships down, like little submarines down pretty low. But you get to a certain place right there and that thing will explode because it won't handle the pressure. But I want you to know that God's love goes deeper than any cavern in the ocean. God's love is so big. And God loves the sinner. God loves each and every one of us. And I think one of the hardest things that we can understand sometimes is God's love. One of the hardest things to do is when somebody loves you and you have not been used to being loved, it's so hard to accept the fact that they really, really love you, that they really care, that they really do. No, nothing they do. All the nicest things they do and buy for you, there's that complex sometimes when you don't understand love. When you grow up with hatred, when you grow up with like pain, and you grow up with stuff that you just can't understand the love of the people can give them. And And I don't know about you, but man, I was taught love when I was growing up. And I was loved by my family. I was loved by my uncles and aunties. I was purchased things. I had gifts. And I know what it is to feel loved. But there's a lot of people that don't know what it means to be loved. They've never been loved like that. And so when somebody genuinely loves you, it seems like you can't understand it. You don't know how to take it. You almost think they're gaming you. God's love is so amazing. So what does love really look like? You know, love can be messy, man. You love somebody and then you hurt somebody and then it gets messy and confusing and people trip, man. There's a lot of stuff that happens. But love is part of the human experience. And we are wired to desire and to love. We are wired that way because we were made in the image of God. It's supposed to be genuine, but sometimes it's not. And you got to understand that love is rooted from the character of God, from the very beginning. We can love others, and we can show it through our actions because God loved first loved us. That's how our model is God. Oh, we can use other people as a model. My grandparents, my mother, my father, they loved us. But let me tell you something right now. The greatest model is God. He's the greatest model of how much he loves his people. Think about how much he loved Israel, how he loves Israel, how much he loves them so much to the point where he has put up with their rejection. They rejected his love. They think they love, but they rejected his love by not accepting the Messiah. But I want you to know there's many, many that have received the Messiah now. There's a lot of messianic Jews. There's a lot of people. But there will be a day where even though to the last day, he'll give them an opportunity. Why? Because his love for Israel is infinite. Come on, somebody. Huh? God loves you more than you can imagine. I want to, you know, to the men and women in the home where you have a struggle. We all have struggles. So don't ever think that none of us have struggled. We've all had our major struggles. But when you're at the point you're on in your life, you may think like, man, I'll never be loved again because I burned every bridge. Now my mom and dad don't love me. My friends don't love me. But that's not true, because if you give it long enough, if you give a little time, if you just focus on Jesus and you stay pure before God and you don't be backsliding and you don't be going back and forth and don't be going out on your husband. And your husband is Jesus. Yeah, you guys, you're married. Yeah, you're the bride. Just want to let you know. I'll let you know. Jesus won't make you wear no high heels, but you're the bride. We're the bride of Christ, the Bible says. I don't care whether you're a big old bigote and all the way you look all hardcore and all that, walk the line. It doesn't matter, man. You're still the bride of Christ. Uh-huh. Come on now. Don't look at me like you're I'm all man. I know you're all man, but you're still a bride. Because we're married to Jesus, man. That's who we are married to. We're the bride. He's the husband. He's the groom. We're the bride. Amen, fellas. And ladies, too. Amen. He loves us with an everlasting love. He loves us unconditionally. And no matter what you've done, he still loves you. Yeah, but he still loves you. Doesn't mean he's happy with you. Doesn't mean that he approves of what you did. He loves you. Just like your kid, when your kid does something dumb, so bad that it hurts somebody or breaks something real bad, you get so angry, man, you know, wow, I wring your neck, but you don't wring their neck because you love them. You don't not ever buy them a gift again. You promise them, I'll never buy you a birthday gift again, man, everything you break, and the next birthday, there you are ordering on Amazon.com Prime. Ooh, I'm going to get this from you. You forget all about what they did last year you bought them a drone. And they ran the drone through the neighborhood and watched everybody. You bought them a drone and they wrecked it the first day. And then you still buy them a PlayStation the next year. Why? Because you love them. That's why. Because you're a kid. That's the way God is. Get it through your thick skull, man. God loves you. Yeah, but last year, he loves you. The Bible says that he takes our sins and he puts them in the deepest part of the ocean, never to be remembered again. Auntie remembers, uncle remembers, your friends remember, your spouse remembers, everybody remembers except God. Why? Because the blood of Jesus covers those multitude of sin, and the Bible says his love covers a multitude of sin. See, our mission as pastors and leaders and preachers and teachers is to teach you how to love. But not just teach you how to love, teach you how to receive love. How to receive God's love and the love of people. In Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, verse 7 and 8, Moses told the Israelites, God showed his affection to you, he said. He chose you because of his love for you. God didn't cause you to be free because you deserved it. Because you earned it, because of your goodness or the way you spoke, he did it because of his own character, where he loved Israel no matter what they had done. This is the way Jeremiah, this is the reason why Jeremiah can say his love is everlasting and it has no end, because it has no beginning. Come on, somebody. God's love just is. Yeah, but I did. His love just is. No hay nada como el amor de Dios. There is nothing like the love of God. No power on earth, no force on earth is more powerful than the love of God. His love is powerful. It's eternal. And it's an eternal fact in the whole universe. The whole universe understands the love of God. When the birds in the morning, when the sun comes over the horizon, comes over and begins to warm the area where they're at, those birds realize that their God loves them so much that he provides warmth for them first thing in the morning. Oh, he provides water someplace. It may be in my backyard in the grass where it's leaking a little bit, but he provides it. I watch those turtle doves. I watch the robins. I watch the sparrows. They all come and jump, and I'm looking out the window, and they look at me, and they bounce. But they know they got water coming someplace every day. God provides. God provides food for the birds. How much more his people? Come on, somebody. See, God's love isn't a duty. It's genuine. It's a genuine feeling, an affection that God experiences as our God. He literally loves you. How many remember when the first time you held your baby in your arms and you looked at them and your tears came, or laughter, or you didn't know what to do? You just had this ridiculous look on your face. Like that. That's the way God is. God holds you and he looks at you and says, oh, Danny, don't look at you. And then you start growing up, and he says, look at you. Oh, I'm about to whoop you, but I love you. That's why he loves us. This is why the prophet Hosea compares God's love for his people to a husband's love for his wife or a parent's love for their kids. It's one of the strongest things that God feels. That doesn't mean that God's love is just a feeling. It's an action. It's something God chooses to do. When Moses talked to them earlier in chapter 4 in Deuteronomy, he said it was God's love for your ancestors. That's why he brought you out of Egypt. It was for his love. He's speaking to them out in the mountains. He said, for God's sake, he goes, listen to me. You guys, you hard-headed, stiff-necked people out here in the Israel, in the desert. You guys, man, you're always complaining about the food he gives you. Let's go back to your ancestors. He loved them so much that he pulled them out of bondage. And you're out of there. I know it may be rough in the desert. It may be hot. It may be cold at night. It may be rough to eat manna every day for right now. It might be tough to have to search for the water until God says, but I want you to know there was a time when your ancestors, man, they were slaves. They were all messed up. They were oppressed on every side, and they heard the cry of the people. And one day God told me to go over there and say, let my people go. And here we are. It was because of them. And some of them couldn't get it. Some couldn't understand the love of God. But just as God loves us, we are also to love others. Because it's an action word. Not just by word, but by action, through action. Love one another just as I have loved you. So we show our love for God and how we treat people. We show our love by loving the lost. We show our love by loving each other. We show our love by our actions, not so much our talk. It's easy to talk big, but it's harder to do big. It's funny how a lot of believers can love past the faults of so many sinners. They don't even know the sinners. We don't even know them. And we love them. Oh, come here. Let me hug you. Pray the love you. God bless you, man. You get all emotional and chills. All excited. Oh, my God, that you feel the power of God. Over there ministering, man, at the altar call over here. Somebody gives their life to the Lord. And then they tell you, yeah, I've been sticking a needle in my arm. Or I've been drinking. I've been doing this. And I've been all messed up. And I'm just free. I feel so good. You get all excited for them, man. Man, you know, they smell like smoke, and they're just all just sinner, man. Loving on them, just hugging them. What, muckles all over your shirt, and you don't even care. Heck, your kid comes with muckles. Hey, what are you doing? You got muckles hanging all over your shoulder, dripping off, man. And you're just like, it's okay. I'm so happy. You got me like to the Lord. Oh, my God, honey, look. It's so funny how we can do that. Then you have a hard time loving your cousin because they talked about you. Or your brother, your sister in the church. See, all this love is action-based. It's based on His love. If we're not doing this kind of action, then we don't love God. We just say we do. John 13, verse 34 to 35 says, so now I am giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. My God, I'm thoughtful of the prodigal son. I'm thoughtful of how this prodigal son just didn't care about his daddy's love. He didn't care about his inheritance. I mean, think about it. If somebody came and says, here, mijito, I want to give you all this stuff right here. I'm going to be going the way of the Lord soon. Here it is all right here. And you got it, and you went and got it, and you said, okay, I'm going to take care of this. I'm going to pass this down to my sons and my granddaughters and all these people. I'm going to pass it on. I'm going to cherish this because it's my inheritance. But, oh, instead, if you go get it to the pawn shop right away and smoke it up for 20 bucks, you know, come on, somebody. I know who I'm speaking to here tonight. I know what's up in this house. But think about it, man. Well, you just don't value stuff like that. Think about the prodigal son. He got that inheritance, and he went, and he blew it so fast that it wasn't long until he didn't have nothing left. He found himself eating in the pig trough. We used to raise hogs, man. And, you know, I get slop wherever I could get slop. Now, most of the time, I was going to eat those hogs, so, you know, I wanted to make sure I fed them real good molasses and real good oats and real good stuff. I fed them real good. I mean, like, real super good. I mean, like, real good. But there was times when we didn't have all that to buy them. So what I did, you know, I used to go down to the Oñate feed store and have bags and bags, and I'd feed them a little bit. But I'd get slop from stores and from people, and I'd get slop, and I'd put it back there, and they'd eat it. Boy, they'd eat it. Imagine, it stinks so bad. Pig troughs and pigs, it smells so bad. Yet, here's their prodigal son laying down, sleeping in the pig trough, eating with the pigs off the corn, same food. He's having to pick through it. I got to get me some meat because he ran out of all his inheritance. He blew it. He sinned. He messed up. He just turned his back on his daddy, on his family, on everybody. And he's all messed up. And one day, you know the story, he just says, oh, man, I blew it. What am I doing over here? What in the world am I doing? I know what I'll do, man. I'm just going to repent, and I'm going to go back home, man, see if I can get some love, see if I can get some forgiveness. And he runs home, gets home, and the Bible says the saw his father saw him from a long way off coming. See, God always sees us coming from a long way off. 30 years ago, about 31, 32, 33 years ago, God saw me coming. maybe 1 or 2 or 3 years, he was looking for me, man. He says, oh, this hard-headed dude, man. I don't know how much more ground he's going to have to hit, but I guess he got to skid his knee a little bit more, hit his head a couple more times. I guess he's going to have to go through one more ordeal until he finally bends his knee. And sure enough, there I came walking, coming asking for forgiveness, saying, please, man, don't throw me out. Accept me back. And oh, here comes the prodigal son running home. And the father, you know, he didn't, the Bible doesn't say that he went out there and gave a 3-point sermon. It doesn't say that he went out there and told him, look, you did this to me, you did that to me, you did this to me, and you did this to your brother, you did this to your sister, and look at the way you've done. You've disregarded your mother. You've done everybody. You know what? How dare you come back over here and now and try to get. And he just, he didn't rebuke him. He didn't condemn him. He didn't even exhort him. He just did this. He said, here, come. Oh, my son, you were lost. Oh, it's so good to have you home. Hey, get him a jacket. He's cold. You know what? Here, he says, here. Come on, let me put my ring on your finger. You're home. That ring on the finger means, you know what? This, you belong here. This is your house. This is your land. And everybody's thinking like, well, wait a minute, man. He already sold off all his stuff. He got all this stuff. Man, he don't deserve that ring. He don't deserve that jacket. What's wrong with you guys? But oh, the father couldn't see that. That's where the father is. He can't see that. He doesn't see that. His love is deeper than that stuff. His love it surpasses all that. Oh, it's too bad we can't be like that. It's too bad we as believers can't be like that. It's too bad we have to judge and our, see, the, oh, I gotta preach this, man. See, the difference between the father and the brother, because the brother came later on. He came in from the fields and came in from working hard, sweated and ready to take a shower or like that. He's looking around. He's like, what's all the music? All his guys, all his faithful guys, his disciples. Like, what's going on over here? Call somebody. Find out what's, I hear music. What's all the lights going on over here? The fire. What's going on? I smell food. Wow, they're doing a barbecue, a matanza. What's happening over here, you know? And all of a sudden, man, one of the servants comes and says, hey, man, your brother's home, bro. I'm so happy for you, man. Love you, brother, man. I'm so excited for your brother to be home. Your dad is like beside himself. My God, it's so exciting, man. Come on, your dad called me to tell you to come and get cleaned up. And come on, wash your hands up. We're going to eat, man. Yeah, we're going to go celebrate your brother's here. And he's like, he didn't say nothing. He just walked away. Walked away, went in there and cleaned up. Probably had a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. You know, that's a nobody loves me time, you know what I mean? And he's in there and he probably kept his dudes. He just, come on, let's go see your brother. No, you stay right here. You loyal or what? You're loyal, sit right here with me. So they all sat right there thinking about all that good food is down the block. God, man. Oh, my God, I can smell that. Ooh, that barbacoa is good. But they had to sit right there and be all loyal and committed. Sitting right there. And there he is. Oh, there's the brother moaning. So his dad finally says, where's my son? I'm going to call him Johnny. Where's Johnny, man? Ronnie got saved. Ronnie came back. Where's Johnny at? Because they call him Ronnie and Johnny. You know? And he says, I called him, but he don't want to come. Oh, he'll be here in a little bit. So he waits a little bit longer. He goes, go get him again. He goes back to, hey, man, your dad's calling you. So I ain't going. Because they didn't throw a party for me. I'm the one who does all the work around here. And he starts, I'm the good one. I'm the one who does everything good. They never throw a party for me and my friends. I didn't go off and spend all my money and all that stuff, crazy stuff like he did. And they throw him a party. Then I heard they gave him a ring. He sold his ring already. You gave him your jacket? What's wrong with him? I'm not going. So his daddy finally says, okay, you guys keep on partying over here. And he walks over to him. He says, hey, Johnny, what's up, man? We're having a party for your brother. Your brother came home. Did you hear? I sent him for you. And he starts. Same thing I said. You never killed a animal for me and had a party for me. You never. And he says, oh, stop, son. I don't know about all that. All I know is that your brother was lost. All I know is your brother was jacked up, man. I heard stories about him. He did some things. My heart, me and mom's heart was broken, man. He did things that I never would have taught him. I feel embarrassed that he did those things in our name. I know he'd heard, he messed up everything. But he's not dead. He's alive, man. And we got a second chance with him. Let's see what he does. Hopefully he'll make it, man. Let's do something with him. The difference between the father and the brother is that the father loved his brother, his son, unconditionally. And the brother only loved his brother conditionally. If you were going to be a believer, if you are going to be a Christian, if you're going to be a leader, if you're going to be a man or a woman who really loves hurting people and hurting souls, that means you got to love everybody. You can't choose who you love. You got to lose. You got to. That's the job of the pastor. Those of you going to be pastors one day, the shepherds of Victory Outreach, we're called to love the lost. We're called to love the church. We're called to love the tithers and the non-tithers. We're called to love the ones that talk good about us on Facebook and the ones that talk bad about us on Facebook. And if you can't handle that, 1 John 4:7-8 says, dear friends, let us love one another, for the love comes from God, and everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God, and whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. He says at first, the most important one, says, people of Israel, in verse 29, you have only one Lord and God. You must love him with all your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. And the second thing he says, Jesus says in verse 31, the second most important command says, love others as much as you love yourself. So it's relationships that matter most to God more than anything, because it's our relationships that are the model between us and the Lord. Thirdly and lastly, how do we stay focused on what's important? It's so easy to get off course. Come on, husband and wife. Look beyond that stuff already. Quit holding on to stuff from the past, man. Quit. Yeah, but remember when you stop. You know what? While you're pointing at her or you're pointing at him, there's three more pointing at you, and there's one pointing at God. You're like, you, but you. No, you. Marriages are the direct parallel analogy of the love of the Father and his church, Jesus and his church. Jesus likens a marriage to his relationship with us. We are to love God. We're to love God. We're to love our wives as Christ loved the church. And women, ladies, you are to respect your husbands as unto the Lord. Now, brothers, they're never going to call you Lord, so just stop. Well, the Bible says in the King James, it says that Sarah even called Abraham Lord. Shut up, stop. She ain't never going to call you Lord. You're barking up the wrong tree. She ain't going to call you Lord. You know how I know that? I tried that. I said, look, Barbara, look, it says right here. She goes, I ain't calling you Lord. I said, all right. But you gotta look beyond. You cannot stay in the past. Now, let me finish this up. Can you come to the keyboard, please? You cannot stay in the past with your spouse. You have got to look beyond that and realize that they're a work in progress, man. It's so easy to get off course. It's when we learn to get along with our spouses, with people, to forgive the offenses, all those things. When we love people despite their flaws, our family, friends. That friend hurt me. Okay, they hurt you. Maybe you don't need to be friends with them, but just forgive them. Move on. You better understand that if the devil can get you to disregard and break relationships with God or with your spouse or with people in the church or with your family members or somebody else, Haven't you ever wondered why? If you're that one person that's always, don't be that one, but if you're that one person that's always saying, why is everybody always wanting to mess with me? My auntie's always doing that. My cousin's always doing that. The neighbor's always doing that. It might be, if like a 99% of everybody else is against you, it might be you have to take a good look in the mirror. I mean, we're all special. We're all anointed. But every once in a while, you got to look and say, wait a minute. Is there something about me that I need to change? See, and let me say this before I close. Can you play? Mm-hmm. Let me say this, that don't ever use God's love or people's love as an occasion to offend them again or do things that even liken to that. Don't do it. Because it took them long enough to forgive you already. If you were that husband that never came home, then now you're a Christian and you still don't come home. Not because you don't come home because you're out doing wrong things, but you might be at the church doing things, but you don't call, you don't text, you don't say nothing. That stirs up some little things sometimes. Old stuff. You too, sister. Don't look at me funny like it's only for the guy. You start looking like, oh, yeah. No. I'm not talking about husband and wife both. You don't use love. Don't exploit people's willingness to forgive. You're in the home that, okay, well, you know what? I've been in the home 6 months. I'm right with God now. I'm going to go tell my mom. I'm going to go back at home. You know what? They still don't forgive you. They love you. Oh, my hijito, look at you. You look so skinny. You gained like 70 pounds. But you look so skinny. They're not feeding you over there. And that's what you do. No, they're not. Brother Dave starves us. But you look skinny, but your pancita, wait a minute, your pancita looks like, how much weight have you gained, mijo? Oh, 40 pounds. He goes, no, are you sure? Are you sure? Let's go stand on the, you know, on your visit at home. Let's go stand on the thing. You know, you've gained 72 pounds, mijo. My goodness. Don't exploit your mom. You've already did that. You burned her for all her stuff that her grandma gave her. And then you want to go exploit her forgiveness now because you got little scriptures now you can use. You can use a scripture to manipulate people in the church and people at your home, at the house, and mom and dad, and husband and wife. No. You got to be real careful to value their forgiveness. Value all that they've had to sacrifice. Because you know what? Although the Bible says they have to forgive you, and the Bible says that they don't forgive you, that they really love God, it's still hard to forgive somebody. It's so hard to extend and that forgiveness and that love. And so you got to be careful to value it. Stand to your feet with me. Man, the devil's after our marriages always, after our family relationships, after siblings. Haven't you ever known anybody? Maybe you have everything great with your siblings. But the devil works hard on siblings. I've seen it, man. He works against brothers and sisters, like in the, you know, especially whenever like parents get older and people die and stuff like that. I've seen that happen so much. We do a lot of funerals, Pastor Joe and myself. We do quite a bit of funerals, and we've seen that so much. I was like, I can't believe they're at each other's throat like that for the house. You know, once like there's a like $90,000 sale on the house, all of a sudden people lose their mind for $90,000. They're only going to get 30 each, but somebody wants 60 or 70. They want to give the other 15 and 15. And I've seen it over and over. And I just sit there and I look to myself. Wow. People get... The devil works, man, on siblings. If you got something against your sibling and they hurt you real deeply, you need to forgive them. That means they may not accept it. They may still try to step on you. But remember what I've always taught. I've been teaching this for 30 years. I've been teaching this to the youth ministry. I teach this to the adult church. By the way, our youth are having service right now. They're probably an altar call right now. They're having service in the other room. So a big old group of them are over there, not in here. But how many know? Let's let that group grow, and we'll let this group grow too. How's that good? That good? All right. So if you're looking around saying, oh my God, is everybody on the date? No, they're in there with Jesus too. Amen. But let me say this, that you're not responsible how you treat people, how people treat you. Let me say it again. You're not responsible how people treat you. You're only responsible in how, and absolutely responsible in how you treat people. So if your brother and sister are hurt, with you and you're hurt with them, maybe a good life's love letter saying, I'm so sorry for my attitude, for my character. Please, let's have Thanksgiving again together. Besides, my husband loves your stuffing and mine is whack. You do something like that and you'll humble yourself. You'll be surprised about how women are real prideful about their cooking. You know what I mean? If you just throw them a bone like that, it'd be like, that's not manipulation. That's the truth, because you know you don't make that stuffing that good like she does. Just give her that one, man. Just give it to her. Admit it. Be humble. You're a Christian. Man, there's ways you can fix things. And sometimes there's not. Sometimes there's not. They're just not. They're not going to get it. But that still doesn't mean you can be like, well, I gave them my forgiveness and I laid it out there and they stepped on me like a dog. No. Shh. You need to close the trap already. I need to just say, Lord, I tried. She's hurt. She's so hurtful. She said some hurtful things, but I'm not going to let it get in my heart because that's my sister. She was in the same womb I was in. We have the same mother, same dad. I'm not going to take it offensive. I'm just going to pray in tongues every morning for her. I'm going to pray every day for her. And one day she's going to get the revelation. And I've seen that happen in deathbeds. Please forgive me. I've seen it with my own eyes. That's God's love. I've taken a little bit extra time because I just felt the anointing so strong. I feel like, you know what, tonight we need to understand God's love. Let's understand His love. Let's begin to understand how much. Listen, we're going to win this city. This summer is going to be, we're going to wreck this city this year. We're going to wreck violence. We're going to wreck drug addiction, prostitution. We're going to wreck. Listen, I'm believing big-time drug dealers are going to get saved this year. I'm believing gang leaders are going to get saved this year. I'm believing, man, some of the most OG dope fiends that haven't been able to quit heroin for 25, 30 years are going to walk into the church and say, Pastor, enough's enough. I'm believing that husbands and wives who are on the brink of divorce, God's going to use our church. But my friends, we cannot be mistaken that we cannot go out there and try to win the world if we can't love who we see in front of us. We can't go win the world if we're fighting at home with our spouses all day and all night, all the time, every week, and having a miracle on the way into the church and acting like everything's all good. You need to forgive him, forgive her, start loving each other, and just start loving from now on. Let your light shine. The Bible says they'll be known by their love. The world will know us by our love, not by how much vetti we have, not by how much Hebrew we understand, not by how much Greek we can, not how many messages we can quote. It doesn't matter how we can preach or how we can do whatever. It's only by our love that the world will know who Christ is through us and in us. Listen, I believe with all my heart that there's a special anointing here tonight. God wants to do something spectacular in your heart. I'm going to invite you to the altar to come and grab hold of the horns of the altar and say, God, I want to love like you love. I want to love like I've never been hurt before. I just want to love people. I want to love my spouse. I want to love the sinner. I want to love you. Come on, from all over this place, fill this altar and say, here I am, God.